I know it's done. We only did one pasuk yesterday. We did pasuk Aleph?
Yeah, we did Aleph.
We did Aleph. We talked about Esav. We talked about real crying. The real crying beats superficial crying. Crying with meaning. And that's why the gematria of Zaaka, crying, is the same gematria as Yaakov. Because Yaakov is real crying. Esav might cry, but Yaakov is crying. As we say in Tefillos every morning, V'ani Tefillosi, L'cha Hashem Eish Ratzon. Ani Tefillosi doesn't mean I pray. Ani Tefillosi means I am my prayer. A Jew is a prayer. Okay. Now, you ever thought about this? We've all heard of the famous Medrash that the four species, the Aber, Minim, and Sukkos, are connected to four different types of Jews. The Lulav, the Esrog, the Dasam, the Aravos. You know, the Esrog is a Jew that has Torah and Mitzvahs because the Esrog tastes good and it has a good aroma. And the Lulav is from the date tree, so it has a good taste, but it's not known for its aroma. So that's... the Dasam has an aroma but doesn't have a taste. And the Aravos have neither a taste nor an aroma, because it represents the entire broad spectrum of Jewry. And that's the Medrash. But we fail, you know, sometimes we fail to go one step further, is that we shake them. Why are we shaking them? You shake them. You put them together and you shake them. When you put together and you shake them, then you are doing an act of taking all the Jews and putting the Jews into motion. If the Lulav is an Esrog and the Hadas and the Aravos are Jews, so when you shake them, then you're putting the Jews in motion. The Jews are swaying. That's an act. It's an act of mitzvah. You're taking the Jews and the Jews are in a state of prayer. You're swaying in a state of prayer. You're taking the Jews and they are a prayer. The Aber Minim doesn't represent Jews praying. The Aber Minim represents Jews being prayer. They are prayer. Shaking the Aber Minim is the nonverbal prayer. And what makes up the prayer? The actual presence of the species, the Jew. So that's how Ani Tefillah. A Jew is prayer. He doesn't just pray. It's not something he does. That's what he is. He's prayer. His cry, he is cry. Yaakov is Zaaka, he is cry. He doesn't just cry. Mordecai came in front of the gate of the king, but he didn't go in. Why didn't he go in? One may not enter the gate of the king when he's dressed in sackcloth.
He went from the gate to the town and back to the gate.
Yes, exactly.
It says it there.
Rashi says it's not Derech Eretz. It's not Derech Eretz to go. Now we have a kasha here. The Mefarshim addresses kasha. If he's not going in, why bother going to the gate? And if he is going to go in, he has to take off his sackcloth and go in.
His job was at the gate. His job was to sit at the gate. So yeah, he was going to go do his job. He's nothing excusing from doing his job. But even if the situation calls for it, he wouldn't go.
We'll see if in the next pasuk that he didn't go to the gate because of his job. He went to the gate because, you know, something was going to happen at the gate. The question is why he went there to begin with.
Because that's the closest you can get.
What's the point?
He can hear you better.
He just stood there. He went to the gate. He did not do his job. He just stood there. He davened. He went to the gate. He davened. I assume he davened.
It says the king's gate. It doesn't say the king Achashverosh.
Right. So on that level, he went to the gate of the king. So that means he davened. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very good. But Yava Adlif Neshar Malach is that. But he was not given access. He couldn't come into the Shar Malach Bilvushak. There was no access. Now, God, I wanted to add something from yesterday, which it's poignant, it pertains to this pasuk as well, It's interesting you pointed that out, Brian. There's a sefer on Megillas Esther called the Yismach Lev. And he has a kasha. Why did Hashem have to notify Mordechai of his decrees through the Baal HaKalemos, through a dream? Mordechai was a prophet. There are those opinions that, like the Megillah Starm said, that Mordechai knew about it through a HaKadosh. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says Mordechai knew about it through a dream. Why should Hashem send a message to an intermediary? A dream is through an intermediary. He's a prophet.
He wouldn't talk to Mordechai at this point.
Yes, the Yismach Lev, it's appropriate, that's an appropriate name, it's an appropriate name for the Sefer. A Navi can't attain Nevuah when he's brokenhearted.
He wasn't brokenhearted yet. To get the message, he would have been brokenhearted. Since he got in a dream.
Yeah, that's why he called out.
So not being allowed into the gates to be not.
Yeah, you see that you're in that with that statement you're overlooking something, because the pasuk before says that Yeshusha Navocha. Yeshusha Navocha. We said from the Medrash that people were jumping out of windows and they were crying. They knew something. They didn't know everything. They weren't privy to all the details, but they knew something. The letters went out. It was far from clear what was in the letters, but they knew something.
But the letters said, it said, what's it called?
Be ready.
And the pasuk says, though, to destroy and slay and exterminate and etc.
Right, and then it started with leaks.
But Mordechai, the pasuk makes it seem as though Mordechai, now that Mordechai knew what was done, now that he somehow, someone told him, he found out the details, this is when he ripped his begadim. Sure, he knew something was up, but when you know something's up, you don't just get depressed. You figure it out. You try to do what you have to do. If you just get depressed when you know something's up, you can't really work on it.
That's really a matter of conjecture, how someone's going to react to hearing something. You have to know how much he heard. Whatever he heard was enough. He heard was enough that he couldn't attain a state of simcha. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal more to him. Because Baruch wanted to reveal to Mordechai the source of it all so he could fix it. And that wasn't possible through a Nevuah because it wasn't B'Simcha.
Why can't we just say that he wasn't able to go into the Shar HaMelech, that is, the Melech being Hashem, that for whatever reason Hashem closed him out. So therefore he only...
It says B'Levush Sok. It says because he's dressed in sackcloth. So I was just thinking, according to what Brian said before, if Shar HaMelech means the gates of Hashem, B'Levush Sok is because he's in a state of mourning. And one can only approach the Shar HaMelech when one is B'Simcha. So that would be in line with what the Yismach Lev says in the previous pasuk. That's if you want to explain on that level.
If we're going to take it literally to mean the king's gate, can it possibly be that Mordechai went there in his sackcloth but didn't do anything to show Achashverosh, like, you made a ruling against us and whatever it is, because Haman made us out to be bad people, but here I'm just standing almost to get some compassion within Achashverosh?
I understand why you're saying that, but it's clear from the Mefarshim that Mordechai wasn't wasting time or energy on giving and sending messages to Achashverosh. His whole being was involved with sending messages to the Bnei Yisrael. So let's take your vart and try and go in that direction, because that's more in line with what, you know, Achashverosh hates the Jews. He doesn't care. That's not gonna help. And like the Mefarshim said before, even if he might be found to be predisposed towards the Jews, but there's a simmer in Shemayim that's not gonna help. Hashem, now you have to do things differently. You can't appeal to the king. You have to do things differently. The Megillah Starm says that that's what he was doing. He refused to remove his sackcloth. He went to the gate of the king, and he didn't enter because he had a sackcloth on, and he wouldn't take it off. What are people going to think when they see that? They're going to see that Mordechai is not endeavoring to use his connections with the king, and they're going to think, why isn't he using? He has such an excellent relationship with the king. He saved the king's life. He's held high in the favor of the king. He's sitting in the Sanhedrin in the gates of the king. It must be because it's not going to help. It must be that, you know, this is the impression that he's giving. It's not going to help because whatever Gzardin that's coming down on Klal Yisrael is Minas Shamayim.
Doesn't everyone hate Mordechai right now?
Because the Bnei Yisrael?
Bnei Yisrael don't they hate him because they feel he's the reason that all this happened?
They wouldn't necessarily all know.
Because he didn't bow down. The ones that know enough.
They didn't say in the letter because Mordechai didn't bow down.
They didn't see
know.
The letter either, but they know that the ones that are going to make that assumption are not
using the connection. It's the Klal Yisrael's credit that when the Gzardin fell on them, that to be destroyed, man, woman, and child, that instead of laying the blame on Mordechai, they took the blame on themselves. Baruch Hashem, we belong to a wonderful people. You're right, you know, that was their Nisayon. Everyone has a Nisayon. And that was a Nisayon on a grand scale to look within, you know, that they look within themselves and find the chesaron, or to blame it on Mordechai. He antagonized Haman. And Baruch Hashem, for us, they passed that Nisayon. And it could have been in stages. Mordechai was highly effective. He went to the gates. He didn't go in, and he was a living example that there's no hatzalah, there's no salvation from that because he's going there, not going in. If he wouldn't have gone to the gate, they wouldn't have seen it. He performed a positive negative. I'm going there and not going in. It was a display. So that's why he went in the first place. Because we asked the question, why did he go in the first place if he wasn't planning on going in? He went in the first place to show that he's not going in. And if he doesn't go to the gate, then you don't see him not going in. That's the Megillah Stone. Klal Yisrael would understand that they have no recourse to save themselves through natural means. They can only appeal directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a commentary called the Yosef Lekach. He says something different. So on the one hand, you know, Mordechai understood. Mordechai was able to read the situation. He saw the simanim. We mentioned this before. Remember, we talked about why Mordechai and Esther saved Achashverosh's life. They could have just let it go. Let Bigson and Teresh kill Achashverosh. They saved his life because they understood that what's happening now is not a Piderach HaTeva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving things around, putting them in position, and they don't want to get in the way. You know, if Esther was chosen as a queen to Achashverosh, then it must be that she's supposed to be the queen of the king. If he dies, she's not the queen anymore. That means that she was chosen as a queen for nothing. That can't be. They saved him. So here also, you know, Mordechai knew that he knew that the Hatzalah is going to come from Achashverosh. He knew that. Not from Achashverosh, from Hashem, who put Achashverosh in the right place at the right time. He knew it. It's going to come from Achashverosh. Esther's going to have something to do with it. Haman's being raised up. He's going to be knocked down. All they have to do is do tshuva and tefillah, and it's going to happen. So he had two things. Two things are going to come into confrontation with one another. On the one hand, he knew that the Hatzalah is in the palace, somehow. And he didn't know exactly how. On the other hand, he knew that the Ikar Hatzalah is tefillah. Tefillah Mordechai, his name was Tefillah. We said before that his name was derived from the spice Mardror, the aroma, which the Vilna Gaon says that represents Tefillah. Tefillah's aroma. It goes far. You could smell it from afar. So Mordechai was Tefillah, and he knew that it's his role to be the Mispal, and to be Mispal, the Klal Yisrael should do tshuva. What do you think he was doing? He wasn't just davening that Hashem should save the Jews. He was davening that the Jews should realize what they have to do. So he's being Matzah Klal Yisrael. He is the paradigm Baal Tefillah. He's the Shliach Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And he has to go to the palace of the king. But part of his tefillah is to wear sackcloth. That's part of the tefillah. That's his talus. He's davening with sackcloth. It's a chiluk and a tefila. So the Yosef Lakach says he was left with a he was faced with a dilemma. On the one hand, that soul is going to be in the palace. He has to go to the palace. On the other hand, he can't stop davening. If he stops davening for a moment, that's pikuach nefesh. It's mamish pikuach nefesh. When somebody's keeping a whole nation alive with his tefillas, and he saw very clearly that he's keeping Klal Yisrael alive with his tefillas, he stops for an instant. He's going to stop for an instant to try and get into a flesh and blood king. His davening is more important than his influence with the king.
Doesn't.
Woman, let me finish, please, with your permission. So that's how he explains. So he went to the palace of the king because he knew that the king is going to have something to do with it. So he went there, and he had no idea why he was going. He went there because it's got to be over there. That's the address. But he couldn't go in because to go in, he'd have to stop davening. He'd have to take off his sackcloth. He'd have to stop davening. He'd have to put on the manners of the king, kingdom, you know, observe protocol, and go in. So he couldn't do that. So he just stood there. He said, Minashamayim, I know that Saul has to come from the palace. I'm going to come to the palace. Minashamayim, he knows that Saul is going to come through his davening. He can't stop davening. So he went to the gates of the king and he waited. But he didn't go in. He did both. And he waited. And that's what we see in the next pasuk. He was right. Yes, Rabbeinu.
But don't we know that tefillah is only answered if you do your shtadlus?
In this case, he was shown Minashamayim that the shtadlus is not. It's not in place over here. When Hashem doesn't want your status, you don't do the status. There's a very similar part with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was in jail. The Saramashkin got out of jail. Yosef says, you know, tell Paro that I'm in here. I was framed. Saramashkin forgot him for 2 years. 2 years later, he remembers. The Medrash says it wasn't a natural event that the Saramashkin forgot Yosef. Hashem caused him to forget for 2 years. Why? Because Yosef gets a punishment. Why do you ask the Saramashkin to remember him to Parah? This is something which is asked in so many different formats. Yeah, what's wrong with doing Hishtadlis? Yosef figured that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him together with the Saramashkin, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked it out that the Saramashkin should get out. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Yosef to use the Saramashkin as a shliach to tell Parah that he's innocent. What's wrong with that? And there's numerous answers. So I once heard an answer from a big Gaon, Rav Mordechai Pogromansky. He was a Telzer. He was a big guy from pre-World War II Europe. He wanted the G'dayli Adar. They said on him that even in the previous generation he would have been from the G'dayli Adar, which is like the highest accolade you could ever give someone. That means there's no Yeridus Adaris by him. That's tremendous. Yeah. And he said the Yosef went down, he was sold down the river with a bunch of Arabs. And they usually carry kerosene, which stinks. But these Arabs, they had Nechos, Tzri, and Lot. Frankincense and myrrh, I don't know, Nechos, Tzri, and Lot. He was surrounded by these most wonderful, these aromas. And the Mordechai Pogromansky, he said, you know, Rashi explains why Yosef was sold amidst such aromatic comfort. It was due to the fact he was a tzaddik, and tzaddikim deserve it. This is a lamed. Matan Scharan Shul Tzaddikim. You see that Kadosh Baruch Hu rewards Tzaddikim for their righteousness, that when they're sold in pleasant circumstances. And the Mordechai Pogromansky says, you know, does it really make a difference to Yosef? If you're going to give someone a reward, don't you want to reward them with something that's going to make a difference? If somebody's ripped away from it, kidnapped from his parents, from his father, by his brothers, sold down the river, away from Eretz Yisrael, away from everything he holds dear, to Mitzrayim, does it make a difference to him that it doesn't smell like kerosene? Do you think it makes a difference? Would it make a difference to us? It wouldn't even make a difference to us. There's only one thing on his mind. He's being ripped away from anything that's good in this world. He's ripped away from everything. Do you think that makes an impression? And the Rashi says, oh, you see that Hashem rewards tzaddikim. That's the reward of a tzaddik. The reward of a tzaddik would be to have the Arabs do an about face and bring him back to his father. The Mordechai Pogromansky answers, it's not the pleasant experience of the aroma. It's that Yosef was contemplating. There's something different here. There's something strange. This is not the usual. It should stink. And it's pleasant. There's nothing in this world that happens that just happens that way. There's no coincidences. If this is happening, it's out of the ordinary. There must be a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be making it happen. Why? It must be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending me a message that even though I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel, but he's with me. And that's a tremendous chaar. So it wasn't a pleasant aroma, it was the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Motcha Pogromansky says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent someone a message like that, Hashem is sending him the message that he's in a cradle. He's in the back seat. Hashem is doing the driving. What's going on is not normal. It's not natural. It's part of a plan. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends someone a message like that, then they sit back and let Hashem do the driving. You don't do his shtadlus. The Sarah Mashkin was sent to get Yosef out of jail, but Yosef wasn't supposed to ask him. He's supposed to sit there and do nothing. Are you shtadlus? Not in this case. Here it's different. Here Hashem is doing everything. And the same thing in the Megillah. Hashem sent Mordechai a message, even through Eliyahu Navi, Yochai Kedish, the Balakalemers, that this is there's only one way. Tefillah and Shuva, no shtadlus.
How are you supposed to know when you're supposed to do
Ishtadlis
and when you're supposed to hold back?
You do Ishtadlis unless a Navi comes and tells you not. Otherwise, you assume that you can do Ishtadlis. Okay. But the Ishtadlis has to be with the attitude that all it is Ishtadlis. You do Ishtadlis thinking that you're the one that does it and you're the one that gets the credit for your accomplishments. So that's wrong. You're doing the Ishtadlis that Krishbok expects me to do it and then he does the rest. You can always tell the difference between the attitudes of people by how much they invest in their status. Weiter. Pasuk Gimel. B'chol Medina, each and every province, Asher Dvar HaMelech V'dasa HaMegiyah, where the word of the king and his law reaches, Eba Gadol Yehudim, there's a great mourning for the Jews, with tzayim and fasting, b'chi and crying, and mispeid and eulogies, sak v'efer, sackcloth and ashes, yutzal rabim, will be spread out for the multitude. Yut says, will be spread out for the multitude. Rashi says, what does this mean? Because little by little, the shluchim, the messengers, reach the outskirts. And with their arrival came the spirit of impending doom. Reach the outskirts. So either because the Jews actually knew what was going to be in the, you know, what was their fate, or that they sensed it, you know, one or the other. I told you, when letters go out that the entire populace should be ready for a certain day, then the Jews know to be nervous.
Now, what was the difference between Shushan and the rest of the outskirts?
Shushan was first.
So they didn't know at that time?
The outskirts were ignorant, Shushan knew. And then...
Malcolm, it says the outskirts fasted.
That's afterwards. The Pasuk Gimel is the next stage. So we said before from the Vilna Gaon, how do people know if Haman tried to keep it quiet? The Vilna Gaon says on this pasuk that the ones that knew was so, there was some that were sympathetic to the Jews and they told the Jews, and that's why there was mourning. Yutza. Sock for Afer, I guess. Let's do sock for Afer. There's a vart from the brother of the Maral. His name is Rebetzala Levoy, the brother of the Maral.
How do you spell his last name?
Levoy Lamed Yud Vav Aleph Yud. Maral's brother, Rebetzala. So, you know, Mordechai instituted the process which they went through was fasting, which is tainus, sackcloth, which is sack, ashes, which is va'efer, va'efer is and ashes, crying, which is bechi, and eulogizing, which is hesped. These five things are mentioned in the pasuk. Tzayim, bechi, mispeit, sack, and efer. Tainus, sack, va'efer, bechi, and hesped. The first letter of those five words, tainus is tough, sak is shin, va'efer is vav, bechi is vez, and hesped is hay, that's tshuva. So that's why these five things were chosen, because this is the complete tshuva process. Tshuva encompasses all these five things.
What is that? What is alpha name?
What?
What are the last two? Sorry.
Tainus, Sak, Va'efer, Bechi, and Hesped. The Rekech has a different cheshbon. He has six things. The Rekech has the five things that the brother of the Maral mentioned, but he includes Evel as well. Because earlier in the pasuk it says Evel Gadol LaYehudim. There's Evel, there's mourning. And it says there's mourning, and then it says Tzayim Bechi Misbeit Sak Ve'Efer. So he includes the word Evel as two. So the Rekech has six things. Evel, Tzayim, Bechi, Misbeit, Sak, and Evi has six things. And the Rekech says, why six things? Because of the 6 days that they had Hanah from the Suda of Achashverosh. The Suda lasted for 7 days, and they had Hanah for 6 days. Could you tell me, perhaps, why they only had Hanah for 6 days and not for 7 days?
She was killed on the seventh.
Right, and the Gaon says that that's what saved them, because if they would have had Hanah...
On the seventh day?
Vashti was killed on the seventh day.
Why didn't they have
it stopped the Simcha. It sort of puts a cramp in the festivities. If they would have had, and it was Menashe Maim, because if they would have had another 7th day, there would have been no hope.
Why?
If they would have had Hanah for 7 days, if the Jews would have had Hanah, then there would have been no hope. They would have gone past the point of no return. There is a point of no return. And 7 days is a shlemus, it's the whole week. And that was the plan. They made a Hashverosh plan to have the Suda for 7 days, because he wanted them to have Hanah for 7 days. But they didn't. So they had to do six things in order to atone for it. The Rekech also says the chashivas of, you know, why do you put ashes? Why do you put ashes? Why is ashes a schus? It says ashes is a schus because it's a schus of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the ultimate, in his ultimate humility, said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Afar Ve'Efer, I am dust and I am ashes, that's all I am. That means my whole being is dedicated to your service, and he had no sense of self. You know, he's like, his own sense of self was like burnt ashes. He's batel, mevutel, nullified, negated, and that's a schus. So when they put ashes on, they were expressing that they're children of Avraham Avinu, and we have the same mitzvah of Avraham Avinu.
Isn't that Yitzchak that said the ashes of Yitzchak are always in front of the
altar? Avram is Afer Ve'Efer and Yitzchak is Efer. Avram is Efer and Yitzchak is Efer. The Dazakenim Bali Taisa says that's why Klai Yisrael is called Ephraim. Klai Yisrael is called Ephraim. The Pasuk HaBen Yakir Li Ephraim. It's a famous song. HaBen Yakir Li Ephraim. Klai Yisrael is called Ephraim. Ephraim doesn't mean Ephraim. Ephraim means the B'nai Yisrael, because in Hebrew, let's say you want to say one time, so you say pa'am. When you want to say two times, you say pa'amayim. So you want to say one afer is afer, two afers is Ephraim. Because Klal Yisrael are descendants of Avram, and he's Afer Ve'Efer, and also descendants of Yitzchak, and he's afer, so we are Ephraim. That's a dasakin of Elitaisus. And that's a schus. The Mepharshim ask a kasha on the end of the pasuk, Yutza. Sak ve'efer Yutza. Yutza means will be spread out for the multitude. Sak ve'efer Yutza l'rabim. Sackcloth and ashes will be spread out for the multitude. And it really should be in present tense or even past tense. Like they spread out sackcloth and ashes for the multitude. What's Yutza means will be. Like in the future, sometime in the future, there will be.
Who's saying this?
Well, we'll start with the Megillah Storm. Megillah Storm says Pash Pshat is because it didn't happen yet. This pasuk is not a declaration of what happened. It's a declaration of intent. It's in the future tense because this is what Mordechai is trying to accomplish. Like Yonah mentioned before, there was a great danger in the Jews just saying, it's going to blow over, or it's Mordechai's fault, he messed us up, let him fix it up. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to fix it up. So Mordechai, this was his mission. He was totally consumed by this mission that he should be able to be the catalyst for a change in Klal Yisrael that will cause them to realize that they have to spread out sackcloth and ashes. So it's in future tense because it didn't happen yet. He's hoping and praying and doing everything he could that it should happen. That's Pashup Shah. The Rekeach has a remez in Yutza. Yutza, if you break it up a little bit, it forms the phrase Eitz Yud. Yutza is Yud, Tzadok Ayin. So you reformulate it. Eitz Ayin Tzadok Yud. Eitz Yud means 10 are going to be on the gallows. So that's why that's another reason why it's in future tense, because you think right now it looks like the Jews are going to be on the gallows. But Sakbeh, if a Yutz al Rabim, then in the future it's not going to be them that are going to hang, it's going to be the 10 sons of Haman. Yutz al Rabim. Pasuk Dalad. Pasuk Dalad. You like that one. I'm telling you, there's so many Ramazim to Haman being hung in the Pasuk. It's Niflois Abayri. But to Vainanar is Esther. Esther's maidens came with Sarisel and her foot soldiers with Yigidala, and they told her. What they told her, Mordechai is standing by the gate of the king, not entering when he's wearing sackcloth. But Tzchalcha l'malkam oid. Tzchalcha, there's numerous ways of defining the word Vatzchalcha. She trembled. She was gripped by panic. Vatzchalcha l'malkam oid. That's, you know, the Targum says she trembled. And she sent clothes. Lahabish is Mordechai. To dress Mordechai. Lahasir Sakami Alav. And to remove his sackcloth from over him. Velo Kibel. And he wouldn't accept it. So she wanted to talk to him. She couldn't talk to him. Obviously, she couldn't go out to him. He couldn't come out to her. And the queen doesn't go out to the people. That's violating palace protocol. That'd be a very dangerous move. You don't want to do that. You should come in, have an audience, I don't know. The queen doesn't run out to the courtyard to meet Mordechai. Very bad move. Yitzchakal Malkamoid. So the Gemara Megillah has different versions of the Gemara Megillah, Daf Tezvav and Aleph. Let's see the Gemara. But Yitzchakal. I'm a Rav. She pierced a needle. She had a period. Her uterus collapsed. And that's what that causes blood. The lining of her uterus collapsed. It affected her so much. Yeah, because she saw that some. She didn't know what it was, but it didn't look good. And Mordechai's wearing sackcloth. Not coming in. That alone was enough. She lost control of her bodily functions. She couldn't hold herself in. She couldn't control herself. That's the Gemara. The Gemara says with the Tzchalcha, and the Medrash says a third pshat. The Medrash says she was pregnant. Doesn't say from who. The Medrash says she was pregnant and she miscarried. Three pshatim.
What was the first one?
The lining of her uterus collapsed and she had a period.
And what was the second one?
She lost control of her bodily functions. Oh. Actually, the first one, she trembled. I said, there's four pshatim. The Targum says she trembled. So she was affected.
Does that explain how come Ahasuerus didn't visit her for so long because she was pregnant?
I have no idea. It seems that the Sefer Yosef Lakach makes an interesting diak in the pasuk. She sent him clothing, the hasir, to remove sakai me'olav, the outer layer of sackcloth. The word me'olav would seem to be unnecessary. I mean, where else do you wear your clothing? She sent clothing for him to remove his clothing which is on him. It's sort of obvious. That's what clothing are. That's their natural state. Based on this, he makes an interesting deal. He said Mordecai had. I mean, there's another question behind this question. If Mordecai is wearing sackcloth, it's for a good reason. She's going to tell him to take it off. That's another question behind this question. She's sending clothes to him for him to take his sackcloth off. He knows he can't come in without sackcloth. And he's not coming in. He's not taking off his sackcloth. What, did she think he didn't have a set of clothes? That's why, you know, she has to provide him with clothes because he doesn't... Mordecai, in case you need clothes, I have clothes. He's got a lot of dough. He's paskin. He's not putting it on. So that's the question behind the question.
She's saying, don't worry.
Yosef Lakach said that Mordecai had two layers of clothing. One was his outer clothing. That's to publicly show, demonstrate mourning. And then, you know, people wear two layers. We have underwear and we have outerwear. His underwear and outerwear, both of them were sackcloth. The outerwear was to show publicly that he's mourning. The underwear for him to be uncomfortable. He had two layers. Everything. He was totally encased in sackcloth. To get all the, you know. So she knew he wasn't going to take it off. He's not going to permit herself to be comforted. So she sent him clothing saying, if you're wearing sackcloth, of course, for a reason, you're not going to take it off. But in order to come in, take off the outer laying one. That's the one, the public display. And that's not important now because you made your display. He went, you know, in the middle of the city and he went to the gate of the king and everyone saw it. But now he's coming into the palace. So which of the two layers is integral right now? The inner layer is the one that he should be bizarre and he should be misarit to tshuva. But the one, the public display is not integral because he's coming into the palace. What's the point of becoming, you know, there's no point in that. So don't take it off. Just take the outer layer off and put, you know, these clothing over the under layer of sackcloth. So he said, that's pshat me'olav. That only the layer, which is the outer layer, lasir saka me'olav. She didn't want him to change his clothing. She wanted him to put these clothing over the sackcloth. It's a beautiful deed. Tamish, you know, has the mamisha, pashup shana, pasuk, a beautiful deed. Pasuk have a tikra estel asach. So she summoned asach. Misarisei Amalek, he's from the foot soldiers of the king. Asher Hemid Lefanah, that he was appointed to stand in front of her. He wasn't her foot soldier, he was the king's foot soldier. But somehow, we talked about this before, Ashkacha Pratis brought it about that Esther was served, she was waited upon by certain unique individuals. And Hasach was one of them. Hemid Lefanah, Hashem assigned Hasach to Esther. Hemid Lefanah. But the Tzaveh al Mordechai is an interesting expression here. She commanded him on Mordechai. Not v'tetzaveh li Mordechai, she commanded him to Mordechai. That's not what it says. This is v'tetzaveh al Mordechai, she commanded him on Mordechai. Ladas, to unearth, to find out. Mazeh, what's this? V'al mazeh, and on what's this? What's this and what's this? Chazal say, the Gemara Megillah, and Daf Tezvav, and the Targum right here, Hasach was Daniel. She happened to get seven maidens that were Tzidkaniyah. She happened to get a foot soldier that was Daniel. There's no happening.
This is David's son, Daniel?
Daniel. No, this was Daniel. Daniel Hanavi. Not this one. No, this was Daniel. David was before the first Beis HaMikdash. Daniel was in the time of the Churban. He was 410 years later. I have no idea.
So he was Achashverosh got him originally from.
He's a foot soldier, yeah. Achashverosh yashened him from Nebuchadnezzar. He was Nebuchadnezzar's high council, right hand man. Achashverosh got him from Nebuchadnezzar. He went from Nebuchadnezzar to, you know, evil Merodach and Belshazzar and then Dayavish and Koresh and Achashverosh. And Esther got him. Eshkocha Pratis. The reason why he's called Hasach is because the word Hasach means is similar, or it's related to the word Lachtoch, Chotech. Chotech means to cut. And the Gemara Megillah says there are two interpretations, two applications of the word cut in relation to Daniel. One is it's a praiseworthy accolade. He's called Hasach because he cuts all the law. All the laws are cut by him. He cuts them. He decrees them. You know, the word gzeira, decree, doesn't really mean decree. Gzeira means a cutting. Ligzor means to cut. Lo ligzor ta peyot. You tell the barber, don't cut the peyot.
So why wasn't he the god of Adar? He's from the...
Because he didn't do what Mordechai did. Mordechai was the only one who was able to see. Mordechai was the only one. This was Mordechai's chayla.
Why was it so necessary that he be the one?
It was a machlaikas, Mordechai and the Chacham. It wasn't pashit.
And why was it that you needed Hasach? Why do you need Daniel to do it? Why couldn't you have someone else, another? Why does Daniel have to stay alive to do this? I mean, you don't really hear much else that Daniel did later on in his life.
We're going to see what happens to Daniel here. We're going to see what happens to Daniel over here. You know, I don't know why Dafka Daniel has to be the one to be the intermediary between Esther and Mordechai.
He's alive longer than usual.
Or why Daniel's the one that was assigned to Esther. It's going to take a little bit of time to explain that. Let's just say, let's finish our two pshatim because we have to stop soon. There is a reason why Daniel is the one that's assigned to Esther. So one is called Hasach is because he cut the Xeris. That means that he was still in his position. He was still in a high position in the kingdom. And the other pshat is the opposite. He's called Hasach because he was cut down. He's not just a foot soldier. He doesn't have any part of the lawmaking process. The Gemara is a kasha. What does it mean that she sent Daniel to find out Al-Mazev, Al-Mazev, and what's this, and what's this? What is meant by, and what's this, and then what's this? The Gemara says that the expression Mizeh, Mizeh, we find previously in the Torah. The Luchos, Abris, the letters of the Luchos were drilled into the Luchos and they could be read on both sides, which is a miracle. Because when you drill letters through stone and you turn the stones around, then it's backwards. But with the Luchos, the letters appeared legible and readable on both sides. So it's called Mizeh u'Mizeh u'Ksuvim. They're written on this side and on this side. So she sent Daniel to Mordechai to find out if the Jews had violated the tenets of the Aseres HaDibros. Because she said, a gzera of such proportion must be because of something really, Klal Yisrael must have really messed up. So she wanted to know if they violated the Aseres HaDibros. Mizeh u'Mizeh u'Ksuvim. And there's also a depth in there too, which Mitch Shemay will talk about tomorrow. The Vilna Gaon says another pshat in Al-Mazeh, Al-Mazeh, it's referring to two separate things. She wants the Vilna Gaon. The first Mazeh is referring to what did the Jews do wrong. Obviously, there's something bad happening. What did they do wrong? So Mazeh is the cause. And the second Mazeh is what's the Gzeirah. She wanted to know the cause and the effect. Mazeh, Al-Mazeh, the cause and the Gzeirah. So Mitch, I'm going to have to continue. What's the ramifications, the consequences?
Create this into the two levels.